So I'm going to talk about today the spin orbit coupled interacting fermion bosons on a square lattice done with my student Fadi over there. I will quickly go through some introduction to the experiments, then look at the strong coupling limit, and then we look at the ground state. And that's the model. Then, where I will briefly discuss how it responds in longitudinal and the transverse field, and then at the spatial map of this spin orbit coupling parameters, and then we look at the global phase diagram. So that's done with a student. My research was supported by NSF and the Air Force. There are also two recent preprints about topological superfluids and wire fermion. I'm not going to mention these two recent work. Let me just briefly introduce the experiments. In cold atom side, they have been one-dimensional. They generate one-dimensional spin orbit coupling, and then. But from 1D SOC to 2D SOC is a big challenge. It takes another 5 years. Recently, Zhang Jin's group at the Science University realized 2D SOC. But the problem is for this Acna atom, the heating is very serious. So only single particle properties were studied. And there's a recent, very important experiment by Professor Chen's group at USTC for Rubidium atoms. The heating issue is much less serious, so the lifetime can be 300 microseconds. So they are able to do experiment. They generate the 2D SOC. At this moment, it's still single particle properties. So the next step is to do many body problems. So there's a big problem with this Raman skin. All these are using Raman laser through a higher excited states. With cold atom, this skin is probably difficult to really observe many body phenomena because of the heating issue. Because the lifetime is very short, it's very hard to do measurement. So in order to overcome this heating issue, there are new skins proposed by Junyi's group. It's called atomic clock skin. This skin can suppress the spontaneous heating issue due to spontaneous emission. So that's a proposal was recently implemented with the clock Strandian and Junyi's group and Yichen, another group. For Rubidium, the UIUC group also produced spin orbit coupling with lifetime. I didn't write the lifetime is about 100 seconds. That's very long, okay. So that's much better than Raman skin. So right now, it's set up the skin to match many body phenomena. So that's in cold atom side. Another group is Stanford's group. They do not use Acron atoms, use this a different atom called Diocesan. Okay. So Diocesan is also get a very long life for these atoms. So they can also start to make many body phenomena. So right now, cold atom side is pretty in good shape to make a to start to look at the many body phenomena. Of course, in material side, I would like to say this so-called KdF material, 5D transition metal oxides. Of course, for material, the spin orbit coupling is S dot L. So that's slightly different. For this material, it looks promising to get spin degree. But unfortunately, so far, the X-ray scattering or inelastic X-ray scattering all detailed did not find the spinning, but the incommensurate non-coplanar spiral structure. So there's no spinning yet. So what they find is an unconventional ordered phase. Then they came up with 4D transition metal is layered Honeycomb magnet. So far, they still find the ordered state. So there's no, still couldn't see spin liquid phase, okay, in this material. So this is my experiment motivation from both cold atom side and material side. We look at a model is on square lattice. We put alpha sigma x spin orbit coupling beta sigma y on the two points. So that's the, actually it's a Rochebach model, lattice regularization of Rochebach spin orbit coupling. So it's actually it's a spin coupled to the points or spin coupled to the momentum. So it's a lattice regularization of Rochebach coupling. So if I look at the kinetic term is there's a spin orbit coupling, then plus interaction. Okay. So for boson, we look at the integer feeding. Of course, with the weak coupling limit, that's a superfluid state. So, but we focus on strong coupling. Okay. Strong coupling, so we get this rotated Heisenberg model in strong coupling limit. That means we get, if we do strong coupling T square over U, we get the spin coupled with rotation matrix on these two parts. If the rotation matrix, you put the identity matrix, you get the Heisenberg model. Okay, that's why we call it the rotated Heisenberg model. There's a rotation matrix. So, of course, this rotation matrix breaks spin into symmetry. That's really due to the, if the, the hop along the bounds, they feel the spin. If the hop horizontally, there's a spin operate, so the spin flip. So if you do strong coupling, you get the rotated Heisenberg model, which break spin rotation symmetry. That's a new class of quantum spin model, okay? Different from Heisenberg model, Kitov model, and Heisenberg Kitov model, okay? Kitov model is three bonds. It depends on the spin doctrine, depends on the bond, you know, X, Y, three bonds. So this talk I'm trying to understand what's the phase of this rotated Heisenberg model. So if we expand this R matrix, okay, if we expand the R matrix, we can get three turns, Heisenberg turn, Kitov turn, and then Dalton-Jones-Moyer turn. So the first thing is Heisenberg turn, second thing is Kitov turn, and then DM turn. So you know, that's in terms of the two spin orbit coupling parameter. We only have two spin orbit coupling parameter, alpha and beta, okay. Alpha and beta, and then, so we can get Heisenberg turn in terms of alpha, beta. Alpha, beta spin orbit coupling parameters. Okay, so what's the physical, what's the phase of this rotated Heisenberg model? So we try to understand, you know, let me, this model is, okay, rotation matrix with two parameters, alpha, beta. That's spin orbit coupling, okay. So what's the, for Heisenberg model, where is well known, right? But now we have a rotation matrix. What's the properties of this model when alpha beta changes? So we're trying to understand this genetic alpha beta. So the first step is trying to understand the line. Alpha equals pi over 2 beta. Then starting from this line, we try to understand the genetic alpha beta. So that's where we do two steps. So, for example, that's the parameter space alpha, beta. We try to understand this line first, okay, along this line, alpha fixed pi over 2. We try to understand along this line first. Then, from this line, we try to understand the whole parameter region. So let me just skip over the details. What is special about this line is a conserved quantity. So there is a spin. So this conserved quantity is, we call the, this is x component, and this is spin y. They commute with Hamiltonian. So along this line, there is a special symmetry. Okay, this symmetry is called the U1 spin orbit coupled symmetry. And along this line, we can find the ground state is exact ground state for boson. Okay. So let me stress one more thing. For boson, this is a minus sign. Okay. If for fermion, you get anti-fermion. Okay. So boson fermion is just changing the sign. Let me just talk about the boson this talk. The boson, we can find the exact ground state, we call the yx state. Y means spin is along y direction. So x, small x means the x direction is alternating. So that's the exact ground state. So ground state looks very simple. But then if we do spin wave calculation, find what's the excitation spectrum. The excitation spectrum is non-trivial. The ground state looks exact, okay, yx state. The ground excitation spectrum, we will find, so we find that the Magnon excitation, at this 2 point, of course, they're gapless, because you have SU2 symmetry. If you add spin orbit coupling, you lose spin SU2 symmetry, so they open a gap. So along this line, except this 2 point is gapless, between this line has a gap, because the gap will open by spin orbit coupling. So on the other hand, this way is the minimum of the gap. The minimum of the gap shows this behavior. So there's a region, the minimum is at the commensurate. And then there's an intermediate region, we call the incommensurate Magnon. The minimum is continuously changing, okay? And so continuously changing minimum. So we call the incommensurate Magnon. Okay. So that's a new element of excitation. So along this line, the ground state is yx ground state. The excitation, the minimum keep, this is pinned and then continuously changing. So that's called the incommensurate Magnon. Of course, this incommensurate Magnon, you can calculate the thermodynamical quantities, finite temperature transitions, and of course, so that's what happened along this line. Along this line, the ground state is exact. The spectrum will have commensurate Magnon, the incommensurate Magnon. And of course, we can look at how this, if I apply a magnetic field along y direction, we can look at how this Magnon condense. So you can get all kinds of phase transition, and then if I add, get all these phases, and then especially incommensurate Skirmion crystal phase. So probably I don't have time to explain this. If I add the longitudinal field, because it's brick SU2 symmetry, so add field, we look at how this incommensurate Magnon responds. You get different quantum phases. If at the transverse field, the response is completely different. So, so I finished the what's the phase along this line, okay? Because this is alpha, this is beta. I just talk about the only this line. There's a ground state, is a yx state. The excitation is you have commensurate and incommensurate Magnon. So now we're trying to move to the whole two-dimensional space. What's the phase and the phase transition? Okay, so we find this line, this is U1 symmetry, so we work the capital symmetry. So we calculate the excitation. Now, away from this line, we can also do spin wave calculation and then see how these magma do, what's their behavior. So of course, you can start from that line and away, move away from this line, look at this magma condensation. I would say I would skip this. All these details is probably you guys may get tired. Let me just summarize what's the physics, okay? So I have to skip this because I just want to stress some important point here, okay? That's an interesting phase diagram, okay? I start, we worked out this Y state. If I add away from alpha, then the magma will start to, the gap will start to get smaller and smaller. Finally, around the dashed line, the condense. Then we need to a new phase, okay? But if we do, unfortunately, the second order transition will preempted by a second order transition. There's a first order transition. Our second order transition will preempted by first order transition, go to some incommensurate phase. And the, along the diagonal line, we, you know, in frustrated system, you need order front disorder analysis. So if we perform order front disorder analysis, you will find this white state is a first order transition line. And then we go to an incommensurate phase. There's a co, this, we go to a, incommensurate long coplanar incommensurate phase. And then there's a 3x3 commensurate phase, 3x3 Skirmian crystal. This is incommensurate Skirmian crystal. So along the diagonal line, we can establish by numerical calculation as 4x1 structure. 4x1 means along x direction, the period is 4. Then 5x1, 6x1 to the origin. So along the diagonal line, that's the physics. And then along the arbitrary line, we can use, we can map to the classical FK model. You know, we can map to classical FK model, and therefore we can use that to establish the incommensurate phase sandwiched between all these commensurate phases. So, of course, only along the arbitrary line, only this, I would say only alpha equal to pi over n, like this simple factor will emerge to the diagonal line. The other factor, like 2 pi over 5, they will not be able to survive to the diagonal line. They will be interrupted by incommensurate phase. So what I want to say is this rich phase diagram, if I draw a dashed line along the arbitrary line, you get, we call this incomplete staircase. Okay. Let me just summarize the important point here. Why? Okay, probably I do not have that phrase. Oh yeah, it's over here. So if we define a 1D number, okay, if we define 1D number goes through this, let me just summarize the main point here is, all this, yeah, okay. So you can see if around arbitrary line I have a lot of incommensurate phase, sandwiched between commensurate phases. Okay. If you move the diagonal line, the incommensurate phase is squeezed out. So near the arbitrary line, I would say I got this incomplete staircase. Okay. Yeah, so this is incomplete. Davis staircase near the upper line. I have a lot of incomplete root phase. When you move to the diagonal line, it becomes a complete staircase. Complete staircase, all the incomplete root phase has zero major. And so this has, this incomplete phase shows a condo set with a long integer fractal dimension. Okay, so that's the interesting thing about this phase diagram. So excitation spectrum will work out y state. We worked out y state excitation spectrum. All this commensurate phase, you can similarly work out. We should be able to take a similar form. You know, it's a delta square plus qx square plus qy square with a gap. Now, when you go to smaller, when you go to bigger and bigger denominate, the width gets smaller and smaller. When you, and that means the gap gets smaller. The gap get, when you go to big denominator commensurate phase, delta gets smaller, Vy also gets smaller. When you reach incommensurate phase, then you get this phase sum mode. And that vanish also Vy vanish. So Vx vanish, you get quadratic term. So that's the phase sum mode in the incommensurate phase. So incommensurate phase is a gapless phase with phase sum mode. Okay. So let me summarize this. All this big plateau, you know, commensurate phase, right? We work at a spectrum, has a gap. All this incommensurate phase has this gapless. There's a phase sum mode. And there are also with higher numerator, this kind of phase is also commensurate phase. But they are not able to survive to the diagonal now. So that's the phase structure. So how many phases we have here? This is collinear phase, all these are coplanar phase. Incommensurate phase is also coplanar phase. Okay, now along the diagonal line, we get the only commensurate non-coplanar phase, 3 cross 3, Spielman crystal. This is a non-coplanar. This is incommensurate, non-coplanar incommensurate phase. So we have two kinds of incommensurate phase here. One is coplanar incommensurate phase, which are gapless, has phase sum mode. Here has a non-coplanar incommensurate phase, but that has gapless excitation. Okay. So along this line, you get incomplete Davis staircase. Here you get complete Davis staircase. Okay. So that's, I would like to stress is, there are many interesting phases here. This is incommensurate, non-coplanar incommensurate Skirmian crystal phase. Okay, Skirmian, you have Skirmian density because it's non-coplanar, incommensurate. Okay, here you get coplanar. Coplanar means it's in the plane. So that means I want to point out is just stress this is. Yeah, along the dashed line, if you add the longitudinal field, you get the incommensurate Skirmian crystal phase. Here, this region, I also get the incommensurate Skirmian crystal phase. That's, if you compare with the experiments in materials, let me just, in materials, they all find the incommensurate non-coplanar spiral structure. That's very similar to our incommensurate Skirmian crystal phase. And there's no spin liquid. And I would like to stress is why, you mean why is the boson model, if take strong coupling, get a spin model? How can you explain this kind of material? You know, that I think there's a common thing is, let me just stress one more important point, then we can finish this talk. The common thing is, as I said, if you expand this R matrix, you will get the dominant ferromagnetic heat of turn. PDF model has the ferromagnet and the antiferromagnet. And the small antiferromagnet term plus a small DM term. So that's exactly this material has a ferromagnet PDF term. Only when boson you get a ferromagnet PDF term, okay? For the spin model. If you play with fermion, you get antiferromagnet PDF term. This material, all this 5D material, they are indeed ferromagnet PDF term. Dominant PDF term plus a small antiferromagnet term. All this material, but this DM term, you know, is small. So actually, this model can describe this material very well. With boson, microscopic boson, if you take strong coupling, get ferromagnet PDF term. Okay. So that's why they can explain this material very well. I would probably skip this. For this kind of material is, of course, automatically strong coupling region. For cold atom system, they are still, you know, just started to look at many body phenomena. So it takes some time to use this to describe cold atoms. But the kind of material is already described this material very well, as I explained. Is a ferromagnet PDF term plus antiferromagnet term. So that's pretty much conclusion is the interplay among lattice geometry, spin orbital coupling interaction leads to novel phases excitation spectrum. Okay. So of course we talk about Heisenberg model, TTF model, spin liquid, Heisenberg TTF model. This is a new class of model. Of course this SYK model is chaotic, but our model is not chaotic, but it shows multi-fractal Davis staircases, candlestick, due to spin orbital coupling. It's not chaotic, but it shows something which like a fractal structure. Okay, I only talk about boson. It's ferromagnetic rotated fermion. We are still working on that's antiferromagnetic, completely different physics. Okay. So this shows fractal structure, quantum conventional to incommensurate transition, and this incommensurate phase indeed has been discovered in the 5D transition metal oxide. Anyway, thank you very much for your attention. Any question about this phase diagram? Actually, this two. This is along the dashed line. At the field, you get all this incommensurate phase, collinear, coplanar, and the incommensurate phase with field, okay, around the line. This one is no field, but the 2D alpha beta space. So that's the main thing I want to tell you guys. So what time is it now? With half an hour? 4 o'clock, exactly 4 o'clock. Exactly 4 o'clock?
Not exactly. Almost 3 minutes past.
Yeah, we started 3 minutes later. Yeah, so I did a good job. So any questions?
So what the spin model looks like on a honeycomb lattice?
Oh, yeah, that's a very good question. You know, we work on a square lattice. So there are only two parameters, alpha, beta. There are two bounds. So. Okay. If you honeycomb lattice, you have add another bound, your alpha, beta, gamma. So honeycomb lattice we are still working on. You get another bound, you get another parameter. So in that case, there is a possibility, you know, this incommensurate phase may be fractionalized into spin liquid. So we know square lattice is very hard to get a spin liquid. But for honeycomb lattice, that's much more complicated. So we're still working on that. So they have one more bounds, we get one more parameter, spin orbital coupling parameter, gamma. Yeah. Other question? Yeah, this can also be extended to cubic lattice. So we had the paper on cubic lattice with fermion, they get wire fermion. If add interaction, then you get has this model, you get also get one more term with to respect to the third bound. So that's more complicated. I believe this model, of course, with boson, you can only be realized. For boson model, cold atom can do bosons. But as I explained, strong coupling limit, I got a rotated Heisenberg model. It turns out for only boson get a ferromagnetic term. And the material, 5D is ferromagnetic term, dominant ferromagnetic. That's why it can explain the 5D transition metal very well. So I would say this is a different kind of approach than you guys are doing, classification. But here, unfortunately, we didn't get, as you pointed out, we didn't get the topological phase. We got the incommensurate phase, unconventional incommensurate phase in this region and also here. But that's what the experiment see in 5D transition metal. It's not easy. Okay, so you guys do classification. That's very nice, right? But the experiment, even now, there's no clear evidence to see spin equilibrium. Okay, so of course, this KTAF model exactly solvable is a Z2 spin equilibrium and with long abelian. It's the simplest model, okay, to show spin equilibrium. All the other models, exactly these people are constructing, much more complicated. Has good physics, but at the end of the day, even KTF model right now, no experiment. It's very because it's a very simple model. It's just bound dependent, three bounds with spin induction dependent bounds. No SU2, very low symmetry. And it shows long abelian. It would be nice to see the materials. This 5D transition metal is close to the, but KTF turns the always other term. That term killed KTF physics. That's what this Heisenberg. There always Heisenberg term. There are some other term. KTF spin equilibrium is very unstable. It's very vulnerable. So it's real life is really difficult to see spin equilibrium. But this incommensurate Skirmian crystal phase, they have Skirmian density is close, but it's still it's unconventional ordered state. It's still ordered, but it's but it's close to be, it's very close to be spin equilibrium, but not yet. Maybe with Heineken like this, it could be. So it's a different approach. We look at the specific Hamiltonian. For boson, for fermion, we get the rotated anti-fermion Heisenberg model. Classically, they're the same. Classical means Heisenberg model. Anti-fermion Heisenberg classically they are exactly the same. They're the same, right? Classically, but the quantum fluctuations are very different. So we find the fermion is more complicated. But the fermion, I would say, material Lachapelle coupling is everywhere, right? Lachapelle is a non-central symmetric system. You always get a Lachapelle term. So fermion material application may be more. Other question? Can you have some question on your classification? Can I compare with some of your classification?
So maybe one question. What if you like add a, so this why you add a uniform field, right?
Yeah, I add the uniform along y direction.
Yeah, if you have like a staggered
staggered field, then there's no, that's a nice question, because the staggered field will just pick up, because this YX state is doubly degenerate. Yeah. If I add a staggered field along X direction, that just pick up one ground state. Because they're two degenerate, you add a staggered field, you pick up one ground, there's nothing happening. Here, I add a uniform field. So, uniform field, you can see, this white state, that the incommensurate micron will start to, if you add this grade, it will close that gap. Because the incommensurate micron has a gap. But the minimum is not at the commensurate point. If you add magnetic field, the gap gets closer and closer. So smaller and smaller the condense along this line. Then condense at the incommensurate point means go to incommensurate phase. If at a strong field, it's polarized. So that's why these two phases actually, these two phases, they are commensurate phase, right? This is YX, this is spin polarized. How they are connected? You know, sometimes they're connected by first order transition, and sometimes by spin equilibrium, but here is through an incommensurate phase. On the left is a coplanar phase, okay? There's a mirror symmetry. So between this, this is a Magnetron condensation transition. So along the left is a coplanar phase, there's a Lifshitz transition, the coplanar to this incommensurate Sturmian crystal phase. So there's a Lifshitz transition. So that's why this Sturmian crystal is no coplanar. You get a Sturmian density surrounded by collinear and then two coplanar phase. So this is so here same thing. We get the incommensurate Sturmian crystal phase, but this incommensurate is coplanar. That's different. Okay. So all this I don't have time to explain because along this line we have U1 symmetry. So all this day has strange, they break U1 symmetry. So they get some strange Gauss-Domos. It's not like an original Gauss-Domo. It's kind of strange Gauss-Domos, does not have Lorentz invariance. Yeah, so the excitation probably I didn't have time to, we had preprint on the web. So they get some very exotic gapless mode due to the U1 symmetry breaking. Okay, thank you very much.